Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Any VDZ Mobile?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Where are you at? I am right around the corner. Of course, I could say that if I was in bed. But pulling up to the light at 12 in the corner. All right, I just went in front of you. You say you're just in front of me? I crossed in front of you if you were approaching the light. Okay. I don't see you turning in. Okay. All right, anyhow, I'm sitting here at the light right now. Okay, and I got that thing tuned up, so I'll wait and pass it over to you. Did you power anything up or anything more? Or is that still all going to be tested? Yeah, I powered up the radios and transmitted on it while receiving, see what, if there was any descents. There's a teeny bit. Hey, Peter. Solve UAW.
KFA-FSO.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA-FSO. Just testing to see if I'm reaching the KC-8LTS repeater.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W-A-V-D-K-T-K-T-L.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Morning, Glory. It must be a silent movie. I don't know, man. Just leaving breakfast here. I've only got about a 1 minute drive home from there, so thought I'd stir up the electrons. Oh, such a long trip. And yeah. I thought about heading there this morning. I thought, boy, it's a long way there and a long way back, and I don't think I have that much energy. Well, we try to do one out your way on Sunday mornings, more like on the once-a-month schedule. One of the main guys that goes to that is in Florida for the winter, and we've not discussed it in a while, but that'll be coming up a lot closer to you. Well, I've never really been a Florida fan, but it's sounding pretty good now the older I get. Of course, I guess next week we're supposed to be getting some 40s and 50s most of the week there, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. Yeah, well, I don't need good weather for my conference, but it would be handy if it was pleasant. There's a we're right downtown Muskegon, and there's a district, you know, just a few walking distance, a few blocks from the convention center, where if the weather's hospitable, we can walk, and there's all sorts of cool places to eat. But Yeah, if the weather's miserable, we don't bother. We just, you know, eat somewhere right there near the convention center. There's plenty of places right there as well. So, but most of it's all pre-planned. I'll probably, Motorola probably be doing dinner on Tuesday, and we'll have to go find something on Wednesday, and then that's it. So, we don't have a lot of time to go screw around. It used to be this conference ran from Monday to Friday. That was just too much. Now it's Tuesday through Thursday, and that's about right.
Yeah, that sounds kind of fun. It gives you a little, almost like a little vacation there for a couple of days.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yep. There's some good, it's the conference is good, but it's everything else that happens. That's the real value. So all the face-to-face with associates and things like that. So swapping of numbers, things like that, works out real good. All right, I'm in the driveway. I'm going to get inside. We'll catch you later. W8FU.
Okay, Sean, take care. If it was me heading to Muskegon, I'd have a trunk full of fishing tackle. Have a good one. We'll catch you later. KDWOJ.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Mobile. KF8S mobile and lurking.
Good morning, Dave. KPR.
How goes it? I hear you got some duplexers doing some creative things. Secret project?
Not sure what you're referring to.
Oh, I thought you were tuning some stuff for Dakota.
Oh, that, yeah. One, yeah, 8 duplexer. Yeah, I tuned it up for his little node mini repeater or whatever it is.
I thought he bought one. Is it the same one that he bought from Amazon? I'm just curious because, was it out of tune?
It was not tuned for amateur. I think it might have been for GMRS or something. It has all 6 cavity mobile type.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at those ones. They sell them on eBay, and they'll tune them for you. And I'm wondering if they like what they say they tune them for you, and they don't.
Yeah, I really don't know. Sean just asked me to tune. I just started from scratch. You know, just basically ran all the coil, all the. Screws down and then just started from scratch.
Fun time. So, did you guys go to breakfast today? How was the turnout?
Yeah, let me see. I think there was about 11 of us came today. Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah, I gotta make it down there one of these days. I like when we have them up here, because it's like it's like 10 minutes from my house. But those are once every 2 months now. But that last one was really big. They had a lot of people go.
Yeah, when you don't do it that often, it's something to look forward to. Yeah, that was a very nice. Nice turnout. It was a long trek for me, but I wanted to see everybody. So it was worth it.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I went. I go, I figure there's all these folks coming from such far away that I gotta ship off over there, but it worked out because it was my daughter's birthday that day, and we were going to go out to breakfast anyways, and I think she liked that place better than the, usually we go to, like, First Watch. It's like a, I don't know if you want to say it's upscale, but they try to be trendy, and I don't think it's that, you know, the price for the stuff that they sell there, I don't think it's worth it. You know, maybe once in a while, but I would rather go to a place like where we went. They seem to have a variety of things. So, but anyways, what else are you up to?
Oh, yeah, that was a good place. Yeah, they didn't have all those special pancakes or something, or the weird sweet stuff that normally you wouldn't expect. I forgot what that was. But, yeah, it was good. Yeah, I know about First Watch. Yeah, I guess their big thing is that special bacon or something. I don't know. Now my excitement today is replacing a toilet seat. Whoopee.
Well, it could be an easy job or a hard, difficult job, depending on if the screws are stripped and all that stuff. Yeah, I've got my kids. I don't know what they do. I feel like they stand on the toilet seats, but they've managed to already break two of them in our new house. It's like,
yeah, it would be easier if I didn't make a stupid mistake and bought the wrong size, so now I'm on my second trip back to exchange and get the right size. Oh, well. Live and learn. All right, I'm here. I'm just pulling in to the local Lowe's. Catch you later. KFADS, KPF.
All right, talk to you later. I'm just pulling in the BJ's here. KFADS.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
W8SU from NADBF.
Yeah, NADBF, W8SU. How copy?
Loud and clear.
Okay, we made an omelet. I'm going to get off this now. I don't like the way I've got it configured.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
KFA FSQ Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network. K
K-E-2-G-Y-A.
K-F-8-F-Q-N, listening.
K-F-8-F-S-Q, mobile.
K-F-8-F-S-Q, long time for a fee. Well, you sound great right now. I got you to 5-9. And how was your day so far?
It's going good so far. I'm on 96 here, going westbound into Lansing. I'm going to go meet up with my parents and get some dinner, lunch. I don't know what you call it. It's a little early for dinner, a little late for lunch, but me and my fiance are going to get some food at Smoky Bones out there in Lansing, so we're excited.
Roger, well, that sounds like a really nice day. I've never heard of that restaurant, but I mean, it sounds good. And I hope it's good. today my dad and I are mounting that antenna that Greg told you about.
Very cool. You're going to have to give me a status report once you get it up there. I'll be listening out for you while I'm driving here, but that's awesome. I'm excited for you. Be safe up there and make sure your dad's following all of the proper safety procedures.
Hey, Roger. Yeah, my dad and I definitely will. I think he has the copper rods for the ground. He might not be doing the ground today, but I think we will, maybe. I have to do some research about that, how to ground that out, but I've got a general idea of how to and stuff, and my dad does. I can't wait to get that mounted up. I should. Like what I told you yesterday, I believe. I can't hit a repeater 20 miles or further. I can really only hit this Romeo one. Once it gets mounted up there, it's like surpassing all the trees that's around my house, so I should get out pretty far.
Yeah, you were sounding pretty good. I think it was last night we were talking. I don't know if you had the if you're talking through that antenna or not, but you sounded great. Since I'm mobile, I probably sound terrible. At least there's probably some kind of beacon fry going on, I'm sure.
No, actually, you sound pretty good. Like I said, you're like a 5-9. There are some times where it's pretty staticky, but most of the time I hear you loud and clear. Right now I'm transmitting via my antenna, and yesterday I have been. I haven't been echoing that much, which I'm enjoying using this actual radio, actually getting out on the airwaves. I thought this was kind of cool. My grandpa gave me a Cobra HH3. It's the handheld CB radio from the 80s.
Very cool. Yeah, more radios, the merrier. I was going to say, you might want to look into a lightning arrestor if you're putting that antenna on the roof. Maybe worth a Google just to be safe in case some of these spring storms rolling through, strike lightning around your house.
Yeah, I'll do more research on it. I've never heard of those. I definitely do not want my antenna up there without a ground, especially because, we're where we are and stuff, and it's Michigan. It's unpredictable weather here. I'll definitely look into that. I don't want anything getting fried or my house getting hit by lightning.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Jump in the rotation. So, hello, gentlemen. What are you putting up, young man? Sounds like you got a project. I heard ground rods being talked about. Hello, this is KF8FSQ. I'm probably getting to the end of my leash here. You guys are, I'm not receiving very well. I'm getting a lot of crackle here on my receive. So, I'll 73 here and let you go. This is KF8FSQ.
73.
KFASQN. Well, 7:30 to you, KFASSQ. I had a good time talking to you. And, I hope your trip, rest of your trip goes well. And, yeah, this is KFASQN. I'll hand it over to the, breaking station.
Alrighty, yeah, Wyatt, it's Sean, WAFU. I'm on my way, drop something off for Dakota, and he's probably out here listening, but no, I heard you guys chatting. Yeah, he was in pretty good for, if he's not hearing, I wonder which repeater he's on, because for as good as he was getting in, he should be hearing pretty good. Anyhow, having said that, I heard you talking a little bit about a ground rod, and your pops is going to help you with that, and I was just curious what you got going on there. Sounds like you're maybe putting up that X50 you got from the one gentleman that you got the Anytone from. I'm speculating. W8FU.
Yeah, actually right now I'm transmitting on the Diamond X50 with the Anytone connected right now. I haven't been using Echolink for the past 3 days. As soon as I got my coax, it's KR400 coax. I got it temporary mounted. It's on my roof. And there's like a five foot metal pole that's mounted on top of that right now. My dorm room, my room is kind of blocking the signals though, and my garage. So we're mounting the X50 on the very top of my house, and we're running the ground all the way down to our flower beds, and we're just gonna mount the antenna higher and make it more permanent, because now it's in a bucket full of rocks, with a bag of rocks supporting it. But yeah, we're looking into grounding it out.
Okay, it sounds like you're doing real good. You'll be okay. There's a device called a polyphaser, and we put these, this is commercial, but this would apply to amateur as well. But where the coax comes into the house, before it, you put the polyphaser, and then you generally run that to ground. So in our commercial installations, we'll put like a copper bar right where all the antennas come in. And then we'll put the polyphasers, we'll get mounted, either mounted to, or there'll be a short, heavy lead from the polyphaser to that bar. And then on the other side of that polyphaser, you'll run a jumper from there to the radio, and that's a good way to do it. It's not that expensive. You do need a jumper to run from, you know, the coax comes into the house right where the polyphaser is, and then you need a jumper from the polyphaser to the radio, and then that gets grounded, and that's pretty darn good. You do that, you'll be better than 90% of amateurs out there. But, and a polyphaser is not terribly expensive. Hell, I probably even got one laying around if you want. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get it to you.
Sorry about that. I'm searching them up. So, aren't those, I believe I've seen them before. Aren't they kind of like, yeah, boxes that mount to your wall? And, they have, like all the connections for your coax and stuff. And, yeah, I'm just wondering if it's like that or is it something different?
Well, you're probably familiar with a barrel connector. Imagine it as a big square barrel connector. Your cable connects to one side of it, and then you get the connected cable to the other side of it. It goes in your line. So you do need two extra connectors, and you got to break your line. And and then right where it comes in the house, you know, close to the outside, you generally run a nice, wire down to ground. Now, there's perfect, there's the right way to do it and everything like that, number two, copper bar, outside, driver rod and all that stuff. But if you've got copper plumbing, you can get that thing connected to that. Again, you'll be better than most, but whatever you do, look, read up on it. There's a lot to learn about grounding. It can drive you insane. And there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors in it too, because You know, one'll say, oh, you got to do this and this and this, and another'll say you got to do that, that, and that. You know, the idea is to get things grounded so that the lightning has a nice, easy path that isn't through your equipment. So you're not keeping the lightning away. You're just sending it someplace where it can do less damage. Anyhow, I do have to get a hold of Dakota, because I am coming up on a drop-off point that we have to coordinate on.
Hi, Roger. I'm on their actual website, the Polyphaser, and I see they have RF filtering, surge protectors, grounding, RF interconnects, data surge protectors, stuff like that. I'll look into that more because I'm looking at the pictures of mine. I've never seen them. I had a nice time talking to you, and thank you for telling me about that, and it's good hearing you again on here. I believe we haven't talked in a while, well, a week. You have a good rest of your day, and I'll say 7-3 to you, and this is KFA, FQN, clear on your left.
All righty, young man, keep up the good work. You're doing good stuff there, so cool. All right, I'll be back, and we'll talk more about it. But right now, I believe I am where I'm supposed to be. Dakota, are you listening?
At ADDF.
So is this parking lot south of the parking structure?
Yeah, southwest. It's next to the pond, south of the pond.
Okay, let me pull over here and bring up that map you sent me. So I see if I can find the vehicle. Stay tuned, I'll be right back.
NADBS, standing by.
All right, I think I understand where she is. Looks like she's west of the parking structure. Reading this map correctly. It doesn't show me. I don't have anything as a frame of reference. Winner or anything like that. Okay. Let me see if I can find these structures. I'm having a hard time figuring out where that point is on this map.
So if you come in off the Quinter, not the emergency entrance, the second one, which would have probably been the first one, depending on where you're coming from. You turn in there, you follow that straight back. It's the first big lot to the left. You kind of wrap around the parking structure, and then there'll be a separate drive to the left where there's like a pedestrian crossing all the way back there in the back right corner.
Looking at this map, I should be right here. So let me look around. Hold on. What am I looking for again? Is it a Silverado, black Silverado?
Yeah, I just sent you a more zoomed out picture of the map too. But yeah, black Silverado, tinted windshield, tinted windows, no fog lights, no tonneau cover.
That little rubber antenna, something you did, or is that factory?
The mag mount is probably still on there. So if there's a mag mount with a little 16-inch whip, that's mine.
All right, I am not sure. I'm pretty sure this is it. Let me, what's the most identifiable thing? Be sure I'm not giving somebody else your repeater.
Three car seats in the back and a mag mount.
Yeah, that's it. It's locked, though. So I got a plastic garbage bag. I'm going to go back and put it in that garbage bag just in case. But it should be safe back there.
I just told her to unlock it again. I don't know why it's not unlocked.
Mission accomplished. Door unlocked. I put it in the passenger floor, and you're good to go. So. All right, mission accomplished.
I owe you lunch. I appreciate it. And I just fired up that PC. I'm going through the setup right now. So hopefully tomorrow it'll be live.
Yeah, I sent you the, you know, the COR and the CTCSS line logic. You know, the push-to-talk is active low. It always is. But usually you got to monkey around. You got to set the full, the duplex to full, you know, 2. It's all in the repeater. Well, that's in repeater config. And then from there, you just got to, you know, diddle a little bit with your audio levels. They're both set to 500, and that was perfectly fine from what I could tell. So, you know, whether you're going to have to. But that was set in, you know, in my Pi. So, you know, you're going to have to get that right for yours. But that's the default. I think they start at 500. I'll take a snapshot of the all the other settings, but pretty much, you know, that'll get you running. And then once you're running, you can dabble with the rest of them. So you've been down this river before.
Believe it or not, I've been stubborn and I have not gone to ASL 3 yet. So I did the ASL menu. I selected full duplex, and now I'm stuck at radio interface. Is it simple USB or USB radio?
Simple USB. There's some functionality that USB radio offers that is kind of iffy. So, you know, if you can't utilize the additional functionality of it, you might as well just use simple USB. I've found a thing simple USB can't tackle at this point.
All right, well, I got the node number in there, I got the password in there, got the call sign in there, and I got to set the full duplex, so I think I'm close.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to be able to run simple simple tune before you have an active device hooked up, so... And even if you can, it'll complain that it can't find the device. So, all right, well, that's your next step. You know, you're now just some frustrating setup away. If everything goes really well, it'll be smooth.
Well, I appreciate it. This is the easy part. I can figure out the commands, and I know I'm not too far off here. So, I look forward to it, and I will keep you posted. When are you leaving?
Sometime Monday. It's about 3.5 hours out there. So in the evening, I'd like to get in there about 8, 9 at the latest, so I have time to unwind a little bit, get untagged, situated. You know, maybe go down to the bar, have a cocktail, and then get some sleep. I don't got to get up particularly early the next day, but so I'll be traveling like in the later part of the day. But I'll be spending most of the regular part of the day just getting ready. I just gotta pack and get everything ready to go. It's only a couple days, so it's no big deal. Two of the days are kind of travel days, so I wear my Shorzy hoodie and stuff like that. So it's pretty easy gig.
All right, good deal. So you're not far from there at all then, at the drop-off point.
No, not at all. If we ever got to do something and we can't do our usual morning hookup, that's always an option. It's just a few minutes up the road for me. It's nothing. And, hell, half the time I'm running around up this way anyhow. So, yep, no problem. Just let's circle back on that just one second. So, you know, you've got your RF, your power cables, all your interfaces, nothing pretty. The rim light, is hanging off of it. Oh, should I have kept that? Whatever. It's connected up. So, I probably should have just kept that, right? I don't know. Whatever. I don't care. If that's the case, I'll just get the one you got from you whenever. So you'll basically just have to plug that in and do the setup. No mounting brackets or anything like that. You'll have to figure that out, what you want to do there. Keep an eye on the heat. If you find that under high duty cycle, you've got a lot of heat, you're going to have to find a solution to that. You know, a fan is, obviously no power supply. I was going to ask you, but I really didn't have one to cough up conveniently. Not, mine's huge. I didn't have anything small and tidy. I figured you got power supply handled. So about the only thing left is, on a note, those connectors, oh, the bottom radio is the transmit radio. The top radio is the receive radio. You can arrange those any way you want. But the way they're sitting together, sandwiched together now, TX is on the bottom. So, you know, since heat rises, maybe you want to switch that to the top. Maybe you want to put a little separation between the two, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All sorts of things to consider. And those connectors, hold on. Those connectors are universal through the Motorola line of products. So if you found a pair of, you know, CDMs, you could literally, provided the CDMs are programmed correctly, you could pull out, you know, you could pull those connectors out and just jack those right into the back of the CDMs, instant upgrade from, you know, radius to CDM, you know, or whatever. So, now, do you need to do that? No, you know, but, you know, so why? But, like you say, it's just interesting footnotes.
All right, that's good to know. So all the frequency stuff is set on the radios, right? I don't do that in ASL. No, I do do that in ASL too, right?
Nope, ASL does not care. It says there's a radio. Well, it doesn't even care if you got a radio, quite honestly. But in this particular case, it thinks there's something that it's got to tell to transmit hooked up to these wires, and it's something that it's looking for an incoming signal on those wires. That's all. It don't care what's out there and what it's receiving. You could have a 10-meter receiver and a, you know, and a 1296 transmitter. It don't care. As long as you give it COR on the receiver along with audio and push-to-talk on the transmitter, it don't care what's going on out there, what radios, what frequencies, nothing.
Right on. Well, this is easy. I think I got the programming part, too. I just got to find that menu where you were texting me the things to set. I just sent you a picture of what I got so far. So, sweet. I appreciate it, man. This is going to be it's gonna be exciting. I know Wyatt will appreciate it. I know Phil will appreciate it. I appreciate it. So, hopefully the other hams pretty close to me, too, will be able to utilize it.
I don't know what happened there, but I unkeyed and the repeater was dead. What? How much did you hear?
Nada.
Yeah, last thing you said, I was just explaining that All-Star doesn't care at all. All it knows is it's sending audio and a push-to-talk out on these lines, and it's waiting for a COR and audio on those lines. You could have a 10-meter radio on receive, and you could have a 1296 radio on transmit. It don't care. So you don't got to do nothing with frequencies. That's all. It don't even care what you're hooked to, if anything.
All right, cool. So, yeah, it's going to be plug and play aside from physically getting everything situated. I have a power supply under my desk here. I've got plenty of power poles coming off of it. I have the cables to connect the radios. I do, no, that's what I was going to say. I owe you a rim light, so I can either send you money or I can order you one, whatever's easiest. excuse me, I got this PC ready to go. I'm in the menu now where I think it's the simple USB where I got to go in there and do all the stuff you just sent me. So, yeah, at this point, I think it's going to be plug and play, I hope.
Yeah, I believe you are correct. I believe it will be. You just have to get your... just got to tweak your audios and set up your node configuration a little bit, but you should be good. You should be golden. So, and then from there, it's all, you know, you can decide what you want to do from there. Okay, cool. I'm at my first stop here. I had some running to do anyhow, so this was really, not only is it close and no big deal, but it was on my way to something else anyhow. So I got to jump out here and get a couple little shopping out of the way. I will be back shortly. W8FU, after yours.
W8FU from NADBS. I appreciate it, and I will I'll talk to you soon.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU. Boogie Boogie, what's up?
Operating extra class mobile here. I was curious about even getting in the repeater.
A little popcorn, but you're just fine. You do have to exercise those extra class privileges every now and again.
Handling my inner WAAZ. Anyway, it's on the way to meet a client on Woodward and kind of down the road from the repeater.
I assume you're on 2.6, or are you making fills from, you must be up that away.
I'm on the 2.6, I'm in where I am, so much closer there.
Okay, gotcha. Anywho, you've been busy. I haven't seen heard a lot of you lately. Seemed like you were tied up with some stuff, although I've just been battling with crap that's been making me want to hang up the spurs.
Yeah, I inferred a little bit of that. I'm just busy, you know, been more in the basement being radio sick rather than elsewhere, and haven't had my car in several days, so I haven't, I sometimes get on the air when I'm off the bubble, but I've, had not got my car for a week, and I won't have it for another week, so not slow on the radio in this car while I was hanging out today. Yeah, I'll just do another stuff. Chasing QSL cars and DXing and stuff.
Playing real radio. Yeah, I haven't had much time to pay attention anyhow, so even if you were in there, we probably were missing each other because I've not had a lot of time to just monkey around with the radio. It seems like every time I think I've got a few minutes, something happens. Like today, I've got a project I've been working on or trying to get on the bench for a long time, and today I wanted to do it. And then I wake up to a leak in the bathroom. I can't figure out why, but the bottom of the sink, the seal where there's a big nut that kind of seals the trap or the part with the plunger that goes up and down, it's just leaking from around there. I'm like, what the hell? So I got to go take that apart and figure out what's going on. I think there's just some dum-dum, you know, stick in there, some compound, probably just dried out or something. But, yeah, it never fails. You know, just, I got some time here. I'll show you.
I know the feeling. Hopefully it didn't do any damage, and hopefully it's any defect.
To get up underneath there and smug things up, and now it's almost 100% fixed. It's not. I've got to go to the hardware store here and get some of the that sealing compound or whatever it is, and take it apart, clean it up, reline it, and then reseal it. So I'm pretty sure, but I did get it to the point where it's just a little drip that I can catch with a towel until I go get the right stuff to do it. Oh, man. Anyhow, so, but never fails. Luckily, I got Monday. I'm going to be I got today, the rest of today, tomorrow, and Monday to kind of just get all ready. And my out-of-towner is just it's like one full day and two half-days kind of sort of, and then travel. They give you travel in the morning of Tuesday and then a half-day, and then they give you travel the afternoon on Thursday, so... kind of cool. You lose 3 days and travel's calculated in. It's not bad. Anywho, so what else is new and exciting? I can't say much. It's just been a lot of busy work at work, so I haven't had any time for anything new and or exciting.
No, that's about it. Just staying busy with work stuff and. Like I said, just kind of playing on some iron age up. Anyhow, I'm going to jump out. I got to start navigating here and meet a client, and from there we'll be busy for a couple hours. But good luck with the plumbing problem, and I'll catch up with you later. I'm sure I'll be on this evening. WAWKATB.
Good timing. I'm zooming in on the final approach here, so. Have fun, and we'll catch you down the page. as they say. K8BB from W8FU.
W8FU, WY8M.
What is shaking ARP?
My big fat booty. Now I'll get that image out of your mind. It must be the day for leaks. Late this morning, I went out to treat my neighbor's dogs, as I do now and again. They got a couple little mixed dogs. They're about 30 pounds apiece. They're really, really nice. They love seeing me because they know I'm going to bring treats. And so I'm giving some treats, and I'm walking back to the house, and I'm like, why am I hearing water running? And I look, and my outdoor spigot is just pouring water out. I'm like, oh, great. So I get in the house. I can't turn it off any more than it already is, so apparently the valve seal's gone. So went downstairs and shut off the inside valve that goes out, and at least took care of it temporarily for now, so we're both playing with leakers today.
I'll tell you, man, it makes assisted living sound luxurious. I'm going to go find a place where they'll do everything, and I can just sit there. With all these all-star nodes and remote radios and all that, I don't need no stinking property or no antennas anymore. I'll just get myself an all-star node or that, and I'll go get myself a senior living place and never have to worry about this crap again.
I've actually looked at that from a couple of different point of views, like looking at, you know, condo living where they take care of all the outside stuff and things along those lines. And at the end of the day, you know, you could just stay in a house and then pay people to work on stuff, or you can go in a condo and pay your association fee. And then, you know, to me it all kind of works out in the wash, but you definitely get a little bit more privacy with a house.
Yeah, well, I kid because I still like to tear a car apart and do my own work and stuff like that. Although, that's another thing that's changing, you know. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, brake job, no problem. Exhaust, yeah, I was getting a little tired of that then. You know, brake job. You know, now I'm to the point where, okay, you know, first of all, the cars, you can't do a lot to them. You know, but if I had a classic, which I plan on, you know, when I retire, I'm probably going to have something to keep me busy, a little, probably something that is just annoying enough to keep you busy, but fun enough to own, like a little British sports car or something. It's been, I've had my eye on a couple, and something like that might be just what I need. Just, you know, just enough to keep me busy, but not enough to drive me insane. But, you know, I don't know, you know, it's like, here's where the old starts kicking in again. It's like, I don't know if I want to do brakes or exhaust anymore, you know? So, I don't mind tinkering, but I don't know about that. So, but I thought it was, I think it was somebody who was talking to Clint Eastwood. I think it was Morgan Freeman was being interviewed, and they asked him, he was like 90 years, almost 90 years old, and they asked him how he, you know, is still getting around doing everything and still acting. He says, Clint Eastwood once told me, he says, don't let the old man in. So I got to be careful not to do that. Anyhow, with that, I'll say get off my lawn because I'm in front of my house. Listen to your final comments there and then get inside.
Yeah, it's pretty hard, though, because he keeps kicking down the door, man. It's one way or another, he just keeps kicking it in. So we're trying. I kind of stopped doing most of my repairs. I mean, I'd still do a battery or something like that, but it's been at least a good decade or so that I've been taking it into a Goodyear or something to get stuff done on the truck. And I'm getting a new truck next month, I think. I don't know when it's going to actually show up, but I'm trying something new. I'm going to try leasing. I kind of played with the numbers a little bit, and, you know, at the end of the day, the leasing is probably going to be a little bit more, but I'm never going to have to spend time taking it in for tires or brakes or anything else, just oil changes. So we're going to try that road for a little bit and see how that plays out. Anyway, I'll let you go because you're in your drive. So 73-SUE-WY-8M.
Well, I will just make a comment on the whole lease thing. This car I did not. This car I bought, but that was a matter of circumstances because I bought this car right when that COVID, crush was manifesting into the, it's like there were no cars on the lot because nothing was built the year or two before because of the COVID shutdowns and all that stuff and parts supplies and all this. You couldn't get a car. Nobody was leasing nothing. Cars were worth way more than the lease turn-in value. But I've been leasing. I made that decision back around 2000. I said, I'm not buying anymore because I want a new car every 3 years. And I like driving a nice new car. I like a warranty. I like never having to worry about anything. So I just accept the fact that I'm going to have a car payment, and this is just how life's going to be for me. And I'm always going to have a brand new car, nice new car that, by the time I'm starting to get a little tired of it, I'll just go get a new one. And it's worked out for me real good up until this last one. Here's what happens, though. We're looking at this. You can either to get your payment the same for a lease versus a buy, you have to put a ton of money down, if you're buying. And the way I look at it is, do that at the end, get a lease and then use it. And then at the end of the lease, one of two things happen. The car is not worth as much as the, it's not worth as much as the residual. In that case, hand it back and you won. Or it's worth way more than the residual, in which case, sell it yourself, pocket the money and then pay it off. So you win either way. And if you really, really, really like the car and you said, man, that was the best car I ever owned, well, buy it then, for the residual, especially if it's lower than it's worth, And so I just think it gives you, I get it. There's other pros and cons. But, if you're going to be, if the mileage suits you, that's the key. And you and I nowadays, probably it's fine. We're not commuting long way to work, but you've probably looked at all this. I know how you are. You probably got columns and charts and spreadsheets and all that good stuff.
Actually, no. Surprisingly not. I think I'm just at a place where I can just tell myself, hey, I'm just going to try leasing and see how it goes. But I crunched some numbers in my head, and I kind of kicked some things around. And like I said, at the end of the day, like say in a 10-year period of time, it's going to cost me a little bit more to lease, but like you said, you have that peace of mind, and you're always driving around a relatively new vehicle. And again, you don't really have to do much of anything in the way of maintenance, just oil changes. So there's definitely pros and cons, like you said. Anyway, with that, I'll let you go. Sounds like you need to get in the house. WY8M.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no right answer for everybody has their own answer that's right. Leasing works great for some, doesn't work for others, and all that. But this is the first buy I've had in a long time, and so it's working out. I got this 7-year bumper-to-bumper Ford warranty with it, too. So, and it's transferable and all that good stuff. So, all right, catch ya. W8F.
You're connected to CMN Network.
AE8WOJ.
Yes, command clear.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
November 8th, X-ray Zulu.
Hey, 13RL, is there anybody who happens to be on the net? Do you have a copy?
Yeah, who is that? N-A-W. Is that you, Rich?
Negative, just passing through in and out of your signal, just doing the signal check.
Maybe turn the Roger beep off on your radio.
I think he's a GMRSer.
Oh, great. Even better. One of those. I didn't miss his call.
Yeah. Not like one of the hams I know, but that radio, yeah, that's just like a GMR radio.
Well, point being, he's going to have to QSY, change frequency, and go somewhere else. He can't transmit here. WNM. $10 Bofangs will be the death of us.
I know, right?
Oh, man, look it. I can push these buttons on my babadoo and make the thing go doo-doo-doo-doo.
I thought it was all wrong, like I'm fading. Just be wondering how those radios can get on our frequency, but our radios can't get on their frequencies unless it be modified.
No, Jay, we shouldn't. It's not type accepted, but most of your radios will get on those frequencies if you open them up.
Yeah, like I said, if it's modified, if our radio's modified, but from what I'm hearing, their radio don't even have to be modified.
Well, I think they're either buying, because there's $10 ham radios, they're either buying them for the wrong service. But I think some of that's the other thing. Not only is these cheap Chinese crappy radios all over the place, they're so prolific, but, you know, to open them up, it's something like, you know, hold down these two buttons and power it up, you know, or something like that. So, you know, they've made it so that, you know, even simpletons that don't understand anything about radio suddenly have a tool they shouldn't have.
Well, I clearly understand it well enough to understand the tone, the Roger frequency, and all of that, and I was able to hit the repeater, and it's three waves.
Oh, no, it's not free wave. It's not any of that stuff. You gotta have a license, and you don't, so stop.
That's a negative. I actually do have a license thing here. I just prefer to stay anonymous on a system that you can be tracked down to your address and social security number.
Well, then you don't want to key it up anymore because, you know, unless you're going to use your call sign, you're not going to be on this system. It's not like that.
Yeah, can I actually get a call sign readout for everybody on the net so that I can make sure everybody has licenses?
Just don't give a shit. You're not allowed to be here. Go away. I'm done talking to the idiot.
Yeah, and if I got to go over to Holly to get you, I'll go over to Holly and grab you because that's where you're at right now.
Let me know if I need to release the Kraken.
Well, he's around Mount Holly, so it's not that hard to find him.
Oh. If he keeps talking here enough, we'll have it zoomed in.
Yeah, I got it. Holly, so got it that far. Come on, keep teeing up. You want me to come up to your front door, tuck you in?
Yeah, maybe you're right. He stopped keying up now.
You're connected to CMN Network.
When we get his geo down, Jay, we'll get the information over to you, and you can run up there.
No, I just wish he'd just run away. I like to be talking to people legally.
You know it. I don't even know why I'm participating in all this. Geez. Sometimes you just gotta release the Kraken. I don't know. All right, back to what I was doing. W8FU.
Hey, I'm going back to what I'm doing. W8FU.
Me, I'm going that way. 73 to you guys. This is an AWGL clear and QFI.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is NACZR. I'm trimming in an antenna, and I'm wondering if we're making it into the repeater. Anybody hear me out there?
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, BDR, yeah, you're making it in TEWOJ. Oh, hi, Rick. Yeah, I thought I could make it into Mount Clemens, but I'm going to go try a couple other spots. I've been trying to trim it with the VNA, and I think I'm going to leave it right where it's at if I'm making it over. Yeah, you're making it. You cut out there a couple of times. I'm not sure if it's the antenna or something in between you. But yeah, you're making it in there. Yeah, thanks, Rick. 73. My name's CZR, Cliff. My pleasure. Have a good one, and happy testing there. T-A-W-O-J.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
KD9QLK, monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
This is KF8SJH testing.
Yeah, this is, how does this one sound?
Sounds pretty good. I'm still in my basement, so, how am I making it into the repeater on here?
It's going good, it's going good. It's not, the audio's not as loud. This one must be a little bit far away from you there, but you're doing all right.
All right, that's good. I was just curious on this one. This one seems to work pretty good. Where do you know where this one is located? No, I did forget where this repeater was located. Over.
Oh, I'm not quite sure. I know it's on the east side there. But I'm not quite sure. I know who owns this machine, but Sean, but his name is Sean W. W8FU owns the machine, I believe. But I don't know where you got it set up there. This repeater is linked to one down here in Detroit. So actually, I could go to another repeater. Just closer to me, that's linked to this one there, Roger.
Oh, okay. That's probably pretty cool. Is this frequency? Now I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking this is the Warren receiver, because last time I was talking to someone on here a couple of days ago, I think I asked that question and they might have told me the Warren receiver. I think I was just forgetting, though. But I'm pretty sure this is a Warren receiver, but I don't know 100% exactly. I'm just thinking that, but I'm like, this is just like her.
Yeah, it is. It's in Warren, but that first machine that we was on, that's in Warren, too. That's in Warren as well. So, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, that's where it's at. But we do have one in Detroit that's linked to this one.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. What's that one? Is that one, what frequency is that one?
442-175. 442-175, right?
I don't think I have tried that one yet. If you want, we can try it, but does it have the same offset and frequency direction as the other one? And the tone. Are those all the same as this one right here?
Yeah, I do believe it is. And the offset is, all UHF offset is 5+. 5+, and that's 500 up. So all UHF. So VHF, the 2 meters, some of them can be minus or some of them can be positive, yeah. I know the low part of VHF is minus, and somewhere in the middle is like minus and plus, and then the high side of VHF, like the 1.7.00, yeah, that's a plus. So yeah, I tell you what, I'll stay here, and you can see if you can make it into that 1.7. I mean, rather 442-175. I think the PR, yeah, the PR should be the same, yeah. Roger.
Oh, okay then. All right, then I'll switch over to it right now, and I'll try it and see if I can get in. But I'll wait for you to confirm and make sure that I don't need a different PR, Roger.
Well, see if you can get in. I'll stay here. If not, come back here.
Okay, I'll try that. This is KSA-FJH.
KWF Denver.
KE4ZYQ. What city is he in, Jay?
Jim Frazier.
Maybe he should try the 448.625. That's the Mount Clements linked up, which is what I'm on right now.
448? Are you sure it's not 443?
Set 443.625.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was. We were on the 442-600. So, okay. He's right now, he's trying to see if he can get into the Detroit one there. The one with the 442-175. When he gets back, we'll see if we can send him over there and see if he can work that repeater he's talking about. You tell me he ain't going to be able to do it because I think he's in the basement.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU from NADBF. W8FU. It is on the air. Is this it? Sounds great. Alright, good deal. I got it working. I have no voice, so I'll fine-tune it tomorrow, but I appreciate it. I just want to test it. Alright, let me take a peeky here. Okay, so you're just showing... Okay, so it's just IDing as your regular node number and that, so... Alrighty. Are you going to stick with that node number? No, I've got some tweaking and some customizing to do. Yeah, okay. All right, well, very good. So, very good. Keep an eye on that heat. Other than that, you're good to go. Have you checked the power out, the other side of the duplexer? Unfortunately, I don't have a meter. Okie dokie. I'm going to say, just trying to think, there's no possible, I mean, you're right on top of it, so there's no way you'd know if you had the cables monkeyed up. Well, I went bottom radio to high, top radio to low, and antenna out. And when I'm keyed up right now, the bottom radio is red. So I'm assuming I got it right. Yep, that should be correct. So, alrighty. Well, the worst you can do is blow up a radio, like dime a dozen. But you'll know when you check the performance. I'll get you a meter or something like that. Try to get it with the appropriate cable so you can check it in and out, check the going in, check what's coming out, et cetera, et cetera. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll have to figure out. This thing's already getting warm, so I'm going to have to figure out cooling as soon as possible, and I've got a wine on it right now, so I'm not sure if it's lighting in my room or what. I got some refining to do, but it's on the air and it's working, so take it as a win. Yeah, no sign of anything here. You're just nothing but you, nice and clean. Like you said, I'm right on top of it, so I'm sure that has something to do with it. But, all right, good deal. I'm going to clear out, and I'll be on this in the morning, fine-tuning it, testing it out. All right, we'll catch you later. W8FU. N8TDF.
W8FU in H.M.S.O.
N8WJL. How you doing, Jay? W8FU.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I was just talking to a new ham there, a KFA something there, West Market. And I had asked some people to go over to the 442-175. But I don't know. What is this? He may not have the right PL in there. What's the PL for that one?
I believe TJ is using 123.0 for that one, like I use for all of mine, and Phil uses for his. So I believe he's doing the same thing. Could be wrong. I can double check.
I think you might be right. I guess that when that guy finds out that he won't be able to get in, he'll probably be back there on this one, yeah, Roger.
already back, but Dakota and I took over, and he hasn't had an opportunity to bounce back in yet.
Yep, yep, no problem. Well, all right. Yeah, we'll stand by and see if he gets back in. Not catch him another time. I'm glad to see some more people get into ham radio there. So, all right, John. Have a good one. Talk with you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Jay. Pleasure talking, as always. I'm going to have to get together for some Chicago dogs or some Italian beefs or just breakfast. I know it's a drive for you, but... All right, catch you later. W8FU. /123 confirmed for the 175 DJ's machine in Detroit. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
Okay, well, I guess we'll be back then, so we'll be able to bring that one up. Even though it might be a distance from them anyway. All right, thanks for confirming it. NAWM.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WABPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
T8BB. Oh, it's on. It sounds like pixelated Fred.
Well, it's good old Fred, but yeah.
Yeah, a link connection was not prepared for your full bandwidth. Good evening.
Yeah, nobody's regularly ready for my full bandwidth. I get that. I'm a lot of bandwidth.
Well, we're all in for the full Fred experience. What's happening? Just back downstairs in the shack from... Went upstairs and got one more nightcap for the evening, except it's a very healthy pour of a nightcap. Not much of a nightcap. It's more like a main feature at 10:30.
Well, I decided to grab a can of Hub's Happy Hour Mix and some lemonade, and now I'm sitting down here. I got the conference up. Mark's
lemonade. Mark's coming. Fred's hard lemonade. You should market a formula and take Mike to trademark court or what do they call it? Copyright law or something like that. Fred's hard lemonade. Yeah.
It is 5% ATV, so it's a little strong lemonade.
That's just keeping it safe. You got a little bit in there, a little bit of alcohol that prevents bacterial growth and the like. You know, back in the day, they were brewing low proof beer just because it was safe to drink.
I drank water. Who knows what was in it? And boiling didn't always help. But if you brewed the darn stuff and heat it up and you gotta get some alcohol in there, you clean it up. So, yeah, that's it, yeah.
I figured I'd drink this first and see if maybe I would want to go grab a bottle of something stronger. It is only 2011.
Yeah, all depends on what time you have to get up in the morning.
Whenever I got done feeling it, actually.
Well, I'm just being a big old nerd and going through QSLs and Logbook of the World and trying to figure out what the heck I have. A long time ago, like around 2005, I went through a box of QSL cards I had at that time, and I put all the QSLs into my electronic logbook. And did not keep track of which cards I put in there, and did not take any of those cards to have them checked and then uploaded, you know, submitted to ARRL. So my electronic logbook has me down for a handful of confirmations that I don't really have. So I've been missing some stuff on the air, because my logbook says, oh, you've got that confirmed, we're not going to give you an alert for it. And later on I'm like, well, except that card isn't exactly confirmed, it's been sitting in a box and I've never turned it in for credit. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to go through and redo all of that and figure out where I missed it and send in cards. Anyway, being a big old nerd.
I'm patching two VMs in one window and wait for them to finish while I'm updating my my task list from Friday. I didn't get everything that I did Friday in my task list. And then so I'm adding all those, that way I can check them off. And then I'm going through my email and all the requests that people made Friday, putting them in my task list, because in an hour and 15 minutes, my work clock resets, and I start working again. It's also going to be the first of the month, and I have stuff waiting for me to do on the first of the month.
So are you saying you're on the clock? Or is that just the beginning of the availability of billable hours?
Well, I'm supposed to work 40 a week, and the clock starts at midnight, 00:00 on Sundays. So I have 45 hours right now, so I'm not technically clocked in yet. But I'm writing down everything I did Friday that I forgot to log so that I don't miss anything. And then logging what came in my email, and then putting and copying the set of tasks that I have to do on the first of the month, every month, I'm copying that list over so that I have a up-to-date list of what I have done and what I'm going to do. Because technically I have my next real thing to do besides my normal first of the month chores. I have a meeting at 3 o'clock on Monday, so I can sleep in until 2 o'clock Monday if I want
to. Monday is a good day to do that, so I would suggest doing that.
That's because you kind of work weekends normally with showings and such, so you do you take the first couple days usually off, right?
Yeah, it depends. My weekends generally are busier, and generally due to the busy weekend, Mondays are always very busy. Monday is you know, a lot of times the stuff we can do in the field over the weekend, you know, the title company and the lender and the bank and everyone else, nobody's working on the weekend. So Monday is taking care of that stuff. So if I have a busy weekend, I try to take either Tuesday or Wednesday. I try to take that sort of my day off, try to work from home or work as little as possible. And I tend to try to do Wednesdays, although it's very, that's my preference if I can. Wednesday's a little more fun to radio at home because the CWT sessions are on during the day on Wednesdays. And, you know, when the weather's nice, a lot of the guys do their larks in the park on Wednesday. So try to do Wednesdays if I can, but it's a case-by-case basis. If I can stay home and send a few emails and phone it in, sometimes that's a successful that's a successful day off. You know, it's not always get down to the Tigers game for a 1 o'clock Wednesday. Sometimes that happens. But, yeah, in answer to your question, I try to take either Tuesday or Wednesday is sort of a quiet day, especially if it's been a busy weekend. Today wasn't so busy. I had a client appointment. I was out for a few hours, but not bad. And then tomorrow is family stuff, so that's probably not working real hard tomorrow.
WF, Tom. Probably not. Going through my stuff here to see. I think I'm missing 3 more requests, and then I'll have my task list updated, and then I can check off the ones I did and add and create the to-do list for tomorrow's date. There we go. Public note. There we go. Yep. I knew I forgot one test that I saw an email about, but I wasn't going to worry about it.
Hey, I was meaning to ask, what's the status of the, you had posted a tower pick. Is that the tower up north? How's the situation? I seem to recall that the outhouse that the shack was in, was going to get relocated for the new build. I was curious, what's up with all that? K8DB.
Hi, AJ.
Hi, AJ. Oh, there you are. That was Benton Hill, actually. I was there early this morning. Power supply failed. And so I dropped the router out, so I had to go up. I went up there at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and fixed it. Because I knew there was snow coming.
Marky Mark. Yeah, there was snow coming. I thought we were supposed to get like a dusting, and I looked outside a little while ago, and it was an inch and a half of snow here. So we're going to split hairs. It's not a dusting, but whatever. It's February for 10 more minutes. Well, an hour, actually. Hey, Mark.
Hello. How are you all doing?
We are doing. We have drinking glass and DX in the log. Life is good.
I saw your DXCC. That's pretty strong there, dude. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been chipping away at it with, like I said, the kind of moderate seriousness over the last few years here, and filling in a bunch of holes and making up for a little bit of lost time, a lot of lost time. A lack of focus previously. I've been paying a lot more attention to what's worked and where it's worked, and more importantly, what isn't worked, and who's on the air, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's been fun.
Very fine business. I was watching a movie called Greenland on HBO earlier, sipping on some Toki Japanese whiskey. QSL.
I do like that stuff. I got to be in the mood for it. I don't love it, but I do like it.
I tend to think that most of the Japanese Scotch-style whiskeys are a little polite, a little maybe well-refined for my tastes, and particularly for the price. It's the full price here, and if it's going to be pricier, I want it to slap me around a little bit. But they're both very good. They are nice, pleasant sippers.
I'd like to find a bottle, though, of Hibiki, if I could find that, add to my collection. I do like the refineness of the Japanese whiskey, I must say. Anyways, from that end, I am doodling. I got a call from my wife's friend that I've met a few years ago that's in a band, and they're asking me to do a gig with them, three gigs at the Italian American Cultural Center in Livonia for Italian music, and they want me to be bassist. Okay, so now I got to learn Italian songs, and I got to know it in 2 weeks. And then the gigs are like March, April, and May. So if anything, it'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be fun. Well, do keep us posted on the set list. I guess I'm curious what would qualify as quote Italian music. You know, I guess I anything popular, but you know, it's like, okay, are you going to be doing dance band arrangements of Puccini operas and stuff? Anyway. NAIHA-K8DB. Where'd Fred go? Fred, are you still alive?
Yes, baby. Well, did you know Dominic Chinese has an album? I have it. Where is it? I have his album. Yeah. Who played Junior Soprano. He did a really good album. When did he release it? I mean, it's got to be 15 years ago when he released this album. And or maybe it was for a little bit longer than that. Maybe it was back in 2000. And that's what I would consider, you know, Italian.
Oh, let me get the set list.
Found it. It was 2003. Ungrateful Heart was the name of the album.
And these are standards, you know, O Sole Mio, Arrivederci Roma, Canto Picanta, oh yeah, Mamma Mia, Piccolo Fore, right, Rose Rossi, yeah, these are all standards in the Italian culture. So, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 right? Bella Italiano, one of my favorites from Rosemary Clooney. Where to go? Mambo Italiano. Hey, Mambo. There we go. I'll kill it. So, this is stuff I got to deal with. Job.
Yeah, but it's a fun job. Well, that's good. Yeah, I was thinking, all right, you know, you go upstairs and you get all the 1960s Dean Martin albums. You know, they'll probably have your set list. Maybe not. Maybe that's not fair, but you know what I mean.
Don't get me wrong, guys. It's a gig. And tell you the truth, I'll be honest with you, I've been to where these guys actually played at this cultural center. And there's a lot of people. They dig into it. They really do. So with my, you know, impression of Ric Flair on bass, you know, would probably just liven it up a little bit. You know, what's this crazy Dago playing with us for in this Italian band? So there's that.
Oh, buddy.
do they make you dye your hair?
You made me find the album, and I put it on now. Oh, yeah.
Here comes the Deborah Carr records, too. No, I gotta dye my hair. Hell no. Dude, I'm the sexy salt and pepper thing going on right now. The girls love it.
Okay,
Marvin's still a bass player.
Persona in mind. That's all. I'm going to step away for just a few minutes. I will be back. KATB.
Players don't get no stray.
Okay, so there was a couple that doubled in there. So, one at a time.
Connected to CMN Network.
T-A-T-E-P.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Well, you can say that again. Like I said it earlier, I thought we were supposed to get a dusting in there. We just looked outside and there's an inch and a half, 2 inches of snow. Oh, well. I don't know what it's supposed to be tomorrow. Maybe it'll melt.
Well, you're supposed to continue, isn't it? It's snowing here right now. What does it say? Oh, no, tomorrow a high of 26 and a low of 10. Maybe it'll go away Tuesday at high of 40 with a rain-snow mix. And then 50 on Wednesday.
So it'll definitely be around for tomorrow. All right. Yeah, we've got a family thing to go to tomorrow, so that'll be fine. It's not far. It'll be snowy. I say it's February, but yeah, except it's March tomorrow. It's still snowy. All good.
All right. I'm going to auto-remove this. And there it goes. And then I can tell it to restart. Nope, I finished my whole tea. And I have a little bit of these Nutella biscuits. I'm trying to, so I got a couple of these right here. And I don't know if I want to go up and get another lemonade. Or wait, I finished all my lemonade. Sorry, what the heck? Yeah, my lemonade. I don't know if I want to get another lemonade or a tea. I got a Bayou Berry up there, too.
Mike's Nazi's drink Jack Daniels. They always called it his tea. Yeah, you get another cup of tea. They come back with a rocks glass with Ice Cube and Jack Daniels. I went up just to grab a little snack. I like these little pretzel crisp things. And I should not be having them because they're basically just all carbs and salt. But I like them, so I put a handful in a small little dish and leave the bag upstairs. And if I can resist going up and refilling the small little dish, it's a reasonable little snack. But the temptation when it's empty to go get another one is difficult.
Yeah, I understand that feeling. It's like I brought down a fresh can of the Hubs party, or part, what is this called? Hubs, happy hour mix from Hubs Peanuts. And once a year I order a 4-can of them, and then I order a 4-pack of my regular roasted peanuts and all that. That's my peanuts and mix, snack mix for the year, but usually the 4 cans of snack mix only last me like 3 months. I can get the peanuts to last me all year, but everything else kind of does go really quick.
Yeah, we've got these other. There's some sort of coated peanuts. They've got like a sweet and spicy coating. You know, so I think they roll them in, you know, honey or something like that, and they've got a spice mix. So between the honey, they've got some sweet. Then the spice mix, they've got some heat to them. And they're really good.
And I don't do heat well. You know, a little bit of spice goes a real long way with me. So you have to be careful. So I have a love-hate relationship with them. I'm like, man, they're so tasty. I really like them. But, you know, just a few, and I'm like, okay, I drink a little. I got to take a sip of water. I got to, you know, back off on them and wait a little bit. And I wish I knew the name of them. I could probably go upstairs and rummage through the cabinet and find a can or something. You know, I got them in a plastic Tupperware doodad that keeps them fresh, but they're yummy.
Oh, see, I do enjoy good heat. It's got to be good heat. I don't want, like, the one that, like, those chippy challenges. No, it needs to be a really good heat and elevate the flavor of whatever, you know. So, like, I'll do chili in my ramen or my breakfast bowl. I'll take a spoonful of the garlic chili crisp and that. Or my coworker, his last name is Green. He grows his own peppers in his apartment. He has a room in his apartment dedicated to his growing operation, and it's all different peppers. And he bottles and makes his own hot sauce. It's called Green Acres. Got labels, bottles, everything. And he's gotten me a bottle every Christmas here. And each year is a different vintage, because I told him this year, or when I saw him after Christmas this year, I said, do you have a little something different this year? I said, because it was a little bit different on the flavor profile. He goes, yeah. He goes, my pepper crop this last year was not the best.
When we first moved into this house, like 20 years ago, we had obviously empty bedrooms. So with the front bedroom upstairs, we set up some sawhorses, and we hung a fluorescent light with grow bulbs in them, and attempted to grow some just regular herbs, stuff you'd get in the garden and use for cooking, and it didn't really work. We didn't either have the right soil or the right light or something. I don't know. It was an experiment, and it just, everything was thin and anemic and leggy, and it just didn't really work. But it was weird, because if you looked at the house, that bedroom, the front window and the side window had a little purple glow to it, and you're like, oh, I know what's on up there. Like, well, no, actually not. It's fine. But so a few years later, we just planted stuff outside in the garden, and it was way better. But when I was growing up, there was a lady down the street whose family was from Puerto Rico, and she used to grow her own jalapenos and habaneros in the garden. And when it would rain, she would go take a tarp and cover it up so it didn't get too much water, because then it wouldn't be as hot. That stuff was hot.
Yeah, it's the old house. I had almost everything built, flood beds and everything. I was building an aquaponic system, but I never actually got the grow media in and it running or anything like that. We built it, assembled it, had the fish tub, two rows of grow beds, and then grow lights and all that, but I never really grew anything in it. I just got, yeah.
I wonder where Mark went. But he's actually probably practicing. Very good. Yeah, like I said, we tried it here, and it was a moderate failure. It was not a bigger operation. It was a small little thing. We thought, well, we'll try this. And I got this one room. We can close the door, and the cat won't bother it. I don't know. We either didn't pay enough attention to it, or we weren't doing things right, and we just didn't try hard enough. I don't know. But that chapter was closed. I think outside now, we've got some stuff that comes back from time to time, including some thyme. There's basil, there's mint, for sure there's mint, because we use that for cocktails throughout the summer, and basil too. Basil gets used in some cocktails. And some of the other stuff. We're always get a new rosemary plant. The rosemary doesn't always make it through the winter. If we got a good, hard, cold winter, the rosemary won't make it. And so we'll have to put a new rosemary plant in, and that'll be good. One year we put it in a pot in the ground, so I was going to pull it out and put it on the back porch for the winter. And I did that, except it got colder on the back porch than it did if it was just left it in the ground and covered it. So that didn't survive. So every year or two we got to get a new rosemary plant and put it out. Really like rosemary in food and cooking. There's a couple of whiskey cocktails that call for a rosemary sprig garnish or a singed rosemary, you know, for essence and stuff. I don't always go for that. It's a little weird.
Well, on the conference, he probably dropped or muted like I did.
He was
practicing and strumming along while I was typing. But, no, I haven't done... I don't know if we'll do anything here. I thought about getting the herbs and those types of things on my desk because I got the windows, I got the windowsills down here in my office that are southern facing and western facing, so the amount of sunlight, they get a good fair amount of sunlight, but it kind of turned the ledge into, network switches, lighthouses, clocks, so it's knicky-knack things and not, I'd have to move some of my knicky-knack things to make room for a grow area, here, I don't really, because we got the two big trees in the backyard here, unless I put something in the way edge of the backyard, that's where the sunlight hits, or the whole front, basically my whole front yard is nothing but southern facing sun, so I could put, raised beds or something up in the front yard, but no, not going to bother right now.
Hey, okay. For some reason, I thought your lower level fits east, so you get morning sun and not much else after that, so. Oh, well. What do I know? Not that I know. Not that I was privy to any details, but. Yeah, the back of our house faces actually east-ish. So the back gets morning and a little bit of day sun, but then the front of the house gets all the afternoon, daytime and afternoon sun, so. There's kind of a butterfly garden, flowers and stuff out front. There's a watering system up there for that, but that gets a lot of sun and a lot of water. That does well. The stuff in the back needs a little more attention, and it doesn't always get the attention it needs.
No, the back side of the house is south. And the...
Special weather statement.
I've got a bare window here to my south in my office, and then come in the corner, and then the western window to my right, so I'm kind of pointed southwest right now, sitting here in the corner. And then my workshop has a even bigger window on the south side, but it doesn't have an east window. There's actually no window. Oh, and I take that back. The upstairs guest room has a window to the east and south, but I was going to say the living room doesn't have an eastern window, and the downstairs workshop doesn't have a window to the east. It just has to the south there.
I see now. Okay. Yeah, I have a client who really would like, if their preference would be, they're looking for this house for... 100 different reasons, a couple of which are slightly mutually exclusive, but, sometimes it's a work in progress, but they would prefer a house that's like yours that faces north so that the back of the house faces south. They're like, we'd like the backyard to have the sun most of the year, and that would be our preference, so every now and then we got to look at the map and click on something and say, this one is not only is it facing the wrong way, but there's a bunch of trees and they got a bunch of shade and I don't think of them any way you want. They're like, okay, good, we can skip that one.
Yeah, so the patio, which is to my west, my window in my office to my west is overlooking the concrete patio here, which is behind the garage. That gets all the sun in the world. But you take 1 foot off the patio and the shade line from the two big trees in the backyard, you're in full shade, so you get all the way to the back 40. And, So If you're sitting on the porch, on the concrete patio, you're in the blazing sun after about 10 a.m. But if you go 1 foot off the patio into the grass, you're in beautiful shade the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's our front porch. We like to, you know, during COVID when everything was locked down, and the only thing people could do was get outside and walk. So that's what everybody was doing, is walking the neighborhood multiple times a day. We sort of, we took our cocktail hour and we sat out on the front porch, especially as the weather got better. And, you know, so we'd sit there and wave at people as they went by and stuff. And as the, you know, have socially distanced 10-foot conversations, you know, people as they go by. But the front of the house faces west, and so it is warm. So in the summer and fall, you know, we will occasionally like to sit out there, you know, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and just, you know, wave at friends and neighbors and stuff as they're walking by or going home. And you can really only do that on a day that's not too warm, because you're getting cooked. We put a retractable awning on the back of the house over the patio, which is nice, but it doesn't get the afternoon sun. You know, it's good for the morning and midday sun. But you know, by 3 in the afternoon, the sun's on the other side of the house and the tree, and it's shaded. So it's nice for that part, but it's really, after we had it put on, we're like, did we really need to do that? It was kind of an expensive oops, but whatever.
Well, at the old house, the only place you could really sit outside was the front porch. That was kind of nice. Kind of my mood depends what I do here. I'll either lower or open the garage door up and set the chair right there. And that's kind of nice to sit there and just watch, you know, the neighbors make the loop, because I'm on the north side of the sub, and there's one way in and out, so everybody, three-quarters of the sub goes south. So everybody, when they come in, they hang a right and take the loop south to the south side of the sub. So pretty quiet on the north side of the sub here, but you still get people that walk it or they'll do loops, so if I'm feeling wanting to watch people watch, I'll go sit in the garage under the door there and relax at night. But if I just want a peace and quiet, I'll go in the backyard porch. But we're pretty far enough up off the road, so where the, you know, fenton house, I was 20 feet from the main road, or from the road, so it was like you were right on top of the sidewalk. You were 10 feet from the sidewalk. And there's no sidewalks here, so everybody just walks right in the road.
Yeah, the sidewalks here, they're not great because the neighborhood's 100 years old, but there's sidewalks. Yeah, our garages are on the back. There's a few newer houses, you know. There's a handful of newer houses, actually on the next street over, that were built in the 50s that have a attached garage on the side. You know, so it's your typical 50s ranch or 50s colonial with the attached garage that faces right to the front of the house. But for the most part, the houses here are much, much older, and the garage is always in the back, as is ours. So if I sat in the garage, the only thing I could do is talk to the neighbor, and he sits in his garage, and he doesn't do that, because that would be weird. So, oh well. It would be nice if the front of the house faced the other direction, so you could have that afternoon, you know, sitting out there time. But I suppose in my state of lack of health, I ought to not be sitting in the garage or on the front porch. And actually, I should be one of the people out there walking. That would help me out a lot. I got to do that more. And it's actually a goal for the year, once the weather breaks, is to get outside and walk a lot more. We used to do it a lot, and we enjoyed it. And we just, I haven't really done it the last few years. We've been sitting more than walking. W8FSM, KABB.
KABB, WSM. Yeah, my doctor would love me to keep walking more. I'm getting better. Or get my steps in more. He's like, you guys got to keep doing more steps. More and more steps, slowly, more and more and more steps. I'm like, yes, doctor.
Oh, and the hell of it is that they're right. They know, and they're right. So, yeah, it's true. We just need to do it more.
us Americans, we live a sedentary lifestyle. We have all the food we can eat, and we have the least amount of work that we have to do. What a life, you know?
I spend 90% of my week working in this little room, and what am I doing here on a Saturday night? Sitting in the exact same room.
Yeah. I do not, I generally don't work down here if I'm doing work from home. I'm upstairs, I got a home office upstairs. And then I've got a laptop in the family room that I can sit at, so I can, I have to make calls and stuff, and Steven's working from home. We don't have to be in the same room doing that. So yeah, so if I'm down here, I do have a computer that I can work at if needed. But for the most part, I don't work from down here. So if I'm down here, I'm radioing, or I'm playing, or I'm surfing cat videos, as Sean says, or whatever. And also, this room is kind of a Faraday cage. Not only is it in the basement, but this room is finished off in old plaster from the 1930s, and it uses a metal lath behind the plaster, so it is kind of almost literally a Faraday cage. And I can walk 3 feet into this room, and my cell phone signal drops 2 bars. So if I do want to or need to make a call from down here, I have to set my regular phone either on the stairs or upstairs, and I've got an older phone here that has Wi-Fi calling enabled, and so I can call from this phone via Wi-Fi to the other phone and get out. So, and that's just not real convenient or always 100% reliable, so if I have to take a client call or something like that, I just don't do that from down here, which means that during the workday, unless I've got some downtime, I'm not down here, so I'm able to separate it moderately.
Oh, I hear somebody coming down the stairs. Oh, she's going to the bathroom and getting sheets out of the thing. Well, I get, I got up just after 10, had my breakfast and all that down here. And then about 3 o'clock, I went upstairs and spent time with the cat. And we watched some movies and TV, and we had dinner tonight, and Michelle got home, and then sounds like it's 8:30 or 9, no, it was 9 o'clock. I was like, you know what, I'll just go downstairs to my office instead of sitting up here, putz around with something. So I haven't spent all day down here.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I am connected to the CMN Network. Yeah, I get down here after dinner. Well, last night I was actually down here fairly late. So there's a de-expedition in Guinea-Bissau, J-51A. So Guinea-Bissau is on the far western African edge. It's a teeny tiny little country, right by Guinea and Sierra Leone and Liberia and Gambia and Senegal. And so there's a group of guys there. It's 4 or 5 guys from Germany that are doing the expedition. And let me tell you, these guys are on the ball. They've got good signals. They've got good rates. They're making 1 million contacts. Not 1 million, but, I don't know, tens of thousands. And because of where they are on the edge of West Africa, they've got pretty good signals here. So I had the country confirmed on 20 and 40 meters CW probably 10 or 15, 20 years ago from a previous de-expedition, that was it. So as soon as they went on the air, I got them within 10 minutes. I got them on 10, 12, 15, and 17 meters. 4 bands just literally within 5 to 10 minutes. And then since then, I've got them on 20 phone, 20 CW, and 80 CW. Because that's really all I needed. I just needed 20 and 80 and phone. So I got them on 20 and 80 and phone after I got all the high band stuff. And then I think I got them on 40 phone too, just to sort of for insurance. But so I was down here last night chasing the last 2 films. I got them on 20 phone, and then I had to kind of wait late until sunrise was starting to come across Africa for their signal to come up, because they were really weak on 80.
and when and sunrise started to come toward Western Africa, the signal came up pretty well, and I got them right away on 80. But if I'd have waited a half an hour, I'd have heard them a lot better. When I got them, they were still pretty edgy, but they listened for about another 45 minutes after I was done, and their signal came up real nice. They were would have probably got them easier, but whatever. Get them earlier, then get them easier.
One moment, be right back. Give me a second. Go!
Okay, baby.
Alright, mustard. There he is.
You have a. You have an HF wire antenna at the new house, or are you just remote up north?
I got a little half-wave here. Or antenna, sorry. So I can hit the button. I don't know. I haven't checked it here in the last couple of days, but...
Yeah.
See what I hear on E?
Are you
the
39, 3933
right there? Will you load? Let's see.
Hold on. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were always remoting up north or if you had something local. J5 is back down at 80 meters in. I wonder if I could hear him easier than I did last night. Last night was a struggle. I finally got him, but it was a little early. I got him 2 hours from now last night.
Where is he at right now?
They're at 3507, it says, on 80 CW. I don't think that's where they were last night.
Holy bejesus, I got like, I must have had fast turned on because that is definitely tuning like a, oh yeah, that's why. I got somebody at 3508, you said 3507 though.
Yeah, the polyp's going to be between 3508 and 3509. I can hear him at 3507. Can't tell he's there. That's strong. Oh, he's clear as a bell. Oh, he's a lot clearer than he was last night. Last night was a struggle. This is much better.
Yeah, I'm 3507. Let me try the up north radio. Even though the G5, one end of it's on the ground. I got the 15 through 6 vertical up, though. So I've been running it on 10 because I got the vertical still up on the radio up north, but let's just see what we hear up there anyways. 80 meters. CW 3507.
Usually my problem here is my noise floor, which was my problem last night. I think my noise floor is lower tonight. Reduce some of the attenuation here. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. The problem with it, you know, the population here is so, the population density is so tight, and, you know, it's old houses, the electrical infrastructure is old, and so there's noisy transformers, and in the summertime there's a noisy insulator nearby that comes and goes, and they replaced the streetlight with LEDs several years ago, and that did quiet them down because I think they got rid of the high-voltage sodium light transformers. but they retrofitted them into, like, 75-year-old actual lampposts. So probably still some funky electrical going on there. But, yeah, this guy's pretty strong here. He's much clearer than he was last night, And again, I got them 2 hours later last night. Western Africa is still completely in the dark right now, even Central Africa, the, you know, sort of Madagascar, maybe the eastern quarter to third of Africa is in sunlight, but, you know, there's another 2-3 hours for sunrise on the western edge.
I think you must be working split, because I see everybody kind of working one up. I can see everybody trying to work them.
Oh, yeah. If the pileup's small, they're doing one to two up. The pileup's big, they're at least 2 to 3 up. At the beginning of the deestation, the split was anywhere from 5 to 10. You know, some dum-dum tuning up. But anyway, so he's it looks like he's listening up about 1 to 1.5.
I saw the dum-dum tuning on both rigs.
Dum-dum was like F7 here, so he was strong.
I am switching between the G5 on the ground and the vertical, the 15 vertical, and I'm like, not going from nothing, and then I switch to the vertical, and I get, like, I can see the flood on the up, you know, where him working, the people on the work split above him.
Yeah, that 8 that he just worked was like 30 over here. They must have been some obviously close. It's kind of a good signal. Good for them, I hope. Again, they're going to be there till the middle of March. They've already been in the air for a week, and they're making a gazillion QSOs. If you do the online QSL request and pay the fee, they'll upload the logbook of the world within a few days of, you know, while they're still on the expedition. A lot of times they don't do that stuff until after they get back home. But some guys were saying online that they put in the request for their QSO a few days ago, and within a few days it came through. So I guess they're uploading semi-real time.
They're at least going to upload everything when they get back, though, right? So they're not charging for, you know, not just the people that are paying for it.
Well, it depends. If they do their own funding, they kind of, it's up to them. You know, a lot of them will, you know, they'll upload for a fee within the first year, and then after a year, then they'll upload everything. You know, so if you don't mind waiting a year, you can get it no charge for the electronic QSO. If you want the card, you got to pay for the card. If the de-expedition gets any funding from the Northern California DX Foundation, which is this big DX organization, and they've got a huge amount of money, you know, they, in fact, for instance, they sponsored this Beauvais Island de-expedition for up to $200,000. If you get any sponsorship money from Northern California DX Foundation, then part of their contract is that you must upload within a year. So for the first year, you can do whatever you want. You can charge for QSOs or uploads or QSLs or whatever. But you can't charge for QSOs, but you can charge for QSLs. But after a year, then you must upload your log, the full logs, to, I think it's Logbook of the World. That's pretty much what everybody is using for that standard. I don't think anyone's really, you know, taking seriously QSL or QSZ or EQSL or whatever. But you've got to upload to Logbook of the World. But if you don't get... if you don't get sponsorship funds from NCDXF, I think you can kind of do what you want to do. And most of the expeditions will do the same thing. They will collect funds for the first year, and after that they'll upload it. There's a de-expedition from Micronesia, V6, that was just this past fall, and they're going to upload everything after 6 months. So you pay for a quicker QSO, or if you don't mind waiting 6 months, they'll eventually upload it. And I just figured that out a few weeks ago, and 6 months is next month, so I'm like, well, I'll just wait another month rather than paying the fee, so we'll see if that comes through. KADB.
I'm just reading the DX report here, see who else is on right now, or, you know, who else is supposed to be, you know, coming on the air this week.
Yeah, there's another one. Well, Beauvais Island is the big one right now. let's see, they got to the island. Well, first of all, they're 2 weeks late. They had some issues either with the boat sailing out of Norway before it got to South Africa or something. There was a situation with the ship that set them back a couple of weeks. But I guess they arrived at the island like yesterday, like Friday, and the waves were horrible. And then I saw a YouTube video that they posted today that the sea had calmed down, and so they assembled the helicopter blades on the deck of the boat, and the helicopter was making trips onto the island with some, you know, the first provisions, you know, tents or something or whatever. I'm assuming tents and things. And they're not in the air yet, but word is that probably within the next 1 to 2 days. So that's the big one. That is the, you know, one of the top ones, and it's the hardest place on Earth to get to and all that, so. But there's a couple of other smaller expeditions to less exotic places, not quite at the top of the wanted list, that are coming up. And someone's supposed to be landing soon. I don't remember where.
I'm reading the Sable Island stuff right here now.
Yeah, CW is a good one because there are CW. Sable Island's a good expedition because they're so strong here. You know, I mean, that's, if you can work Florida, you can work Sable Island. So they'll have good strong signals. You'll be able to get them anywhere and everywhere. That being said, because of the location, they will sometimes prioritize Africa and Central Asia and Far East, because that's hard for them. So they're like, well, everyone in South and North America has already worked Sable Island, so we're kind of going there to prioritize the DX from there. So sometimes you gotta wait in line for them to be working North America, because otherwise their priority is Asia, etc.
Gotcha. So they're going that way. Well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, we call it DX, but it's only a couple hundred miles, yeah, from us.
Yeah, it's right there. I remember when NAKR and KDD and ACW was a contingent of guys from Michigan that went there, and they weren't at Sable. They were up in St. Pierre. They did an expedition to St. Pierre and Miquelon, which is much easier to get to, much easier to get to. But again, they were, I mean, that's just, you know, that's off the coast of Newfoundland. So they were super strong. And I got them on a whole bunch of bands and modes and stuff. So I don't know what I can Sable Island on, but I know that, yeah, they're like Bermuda. They're really strong here.
Well, if I was still able to, I would have been like, okay, I'm going to go to South Fox Island and just activate it in the middle of, like, Michigan. Nobody's going to be able to activate, well, unless they get to the lighthouse. I forgot, the lighthouse part of the island is public there, but you've got to get to the South Fox of the island, you got to charter a private boat and all that. And, to go, the only public part of the island is right where the lighthouse is. WS.
Yeah, the, well, it's obviously not the XCC entity, but, you know, the lighthouses on the air and the islands on the air, was kind of a British thing. They kind of got that started ages ago. And I think that the islands on the air then spurred lighthouses on the air, which then spurred parks on the air and summits. Well, I guess summits on the air was first, and then was it either pre-COVID or during COVID? They said, "Well, let's do all the parks." And you know, now at this point, it's like, you know, Ham Shack's on the air. Left bay of your garage with the car with the truck pulled out on the air.
I think Sean had it right. Toilets on the air is the next big thing. We definitely got to do toilets on the air.
W-A-W-W. Yeah, you do toilets on the air, you gotta be careful of who you sell that radio to. W-A-W-W from K-8-B-B, good evening, or good morning.
gentleman just headed home from work, another 16 hours downtown. First you're talking, I proposed one, pools on the air. You know, great way, you know, I was going down to Florida quite on occasion. And, of course, one that I wanted to do a couple weeks ago at the store. Unfortunately, that weekend was the weekend that most of the time it was between 40 and 50 and dropped down to 25 at night. So I said, let's do pools on the air, or actually pools amateur radio, or call it Polar for short. But, you know, just go and put the antenna up next to the pool, get something with a, you know, drink with a, you know, a little fruit in an umbrella, and go from there. By the way, name is James.
Hi, James. Name is Don. Call us K8BB. I like the idea. Pools in there is great. And I like the idea of the, you know, you've got to have a Mai Tai or something like that, or a cocktail with an umbrella in it, for sure. That's a good one. We don't have a lot of pools up here, obviously, no, but Florida for sure. That'll be fun. So, Fred, you got to put a pool in. We'll come over and do pools on the air from your place. W8FSM, K8BB.
I think the requirement, though, is you've got to be on a floaty so you can count as maritime mobile. Unless you're floating on a floaty, standing in the pool, you know, using your rig from the standing in the pool, no, you must be floating in said pool. It could be in a boat. It could be in an inflatable. It could be with water wings, for all I care. But you must be in the pool floating for pools on the air.
That sounds like a plan, but the nice thing is that you don't have to go and ruin your vacation and everything. But yeah, I saw the weather forecast and I said there was no way in hell that I was going to drag batteries and the Zygu and all that down. Then again, you're talking to someone who went and spent 5 days in London, wrapped around 4 days in Morocco, and due to some technical issues, after dragging around my ICOM, was it the 9300, 9700, whatever, that and a buddy pool, you know, the nice thing is the host in Morocco did invite me to come back for free, but he wants me to try to find his son a job here. I'm going to say 73, gentlemen. I'm just a half mile from the house. Good evening, W8WW.
Very good. Well, thanks, James, for dropping in, and good to make your acquaintance. Actually, I think we ran into you at a ham fest not too long ago. It was a Lance Cruise or something, I think. But yeah, we've done some traveling, but I've never taken a radio with me. I was in Alaska last summer, and we were down in the Caribbean several winters in a row prior to that, and I've just not taken a radio. So I've got another trip booked for February of next year, 2027, in the Caribbean, and it has crossed my mind that maybe I need to investigate who I have to ask permission for to take equipment on board. Can I go ashore? Can I take it? What do I have to do for licensing? But it's been low priority. Anyhow, all right. Well, like I said, thanks for jumping in, and great to make your acquaintance. W8FSM, Fred, over to you from K8BB.
Connected.